Rabosai, we're back to the sugya of how the Kohanim organize themselves for the Akrava of the Korban Pesach. So we're on Daf Samach Dalid Amid Beis, and we're up to the two dots, which is about two-thirds down from the top, one-third up from the bottom. And if it helps anybody, the first word in the line is the Shakil Minayim. Kohanim Omdim Shuros Shura Shekula Kesef Shura Shekula Zahav. There were different types of Mizrakim, of receptacles for the dam. Some were made of gold, some of silver. And the Shuros of the Kohanim, who would pass the Mizrak with the dam after the Kabbalah Sadam from one coin to the other until it got to the Mizbeach, they separated the Shuros that had Mizrakos of dam from those that had Mizrakos of Kesef, from those that had Mizrakos of Zahav, of gold. My time. Elay Madilma Shakli de Dahava Uma Aili de Kaspa. If it's because we're afraid that maybe the Kohen would return a Mizrak Shel Zav, which was empty, and then do the Kabbalah with a Mizrak Shel Kesef. Shemiyachzir haKohen Mizrak Shel Zahav, Reik, V'yakabel Mizrak Mole Shel Kesef. In other words, at one point, the Kohen who is towards the front of the line, closer to the Mizbeach, he's holding on to a gold Mizrak. And now, after he does the Zrika, let's say he's first on line, he takes that empty Mizrak of Zav and passes it backwards, right? Back to the end of the line, or the other head of the line, to the Kohen who's standing Lamazogin on his left. Now, what Mizrak is going to be passed up the line to that Kohen on the left who received an empty Mizrak of Zav? Very possibly, it's going to be dam that's inside a Mizrak of Kesef. And if that happens, because again, the line is made up of a mixture of Mizrakos of both Kesef and Zav, then we have a violation of the principle of Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'lo Moridim. Because on the previous round, you were doing the avoda with a Mizrak of Zav, and now you get stuck with a Mizrak Shel Kesef. So Gemara says, Hachinami, he says, even after you set it up and guarantee that each Shura of Kohanim, every last Kohen was holding on to the same material, meaning whether it be Mizrak Shel Zav or Mizrak Shel Kesef, Dilma, Shakli Bar Masan, Umayli Bar Mea. What happens if you have two Mizrakos and they're both made of the same material, but one of them is worth a lot more than the other? It may have more gold or more refined gold than the other. So Shemiyachzir Mizrak Reik, the Mizrak that he got on the way back, which was empty, was worth 200 zuz, which is an awful sum of money. And he now gets a Mizrak, which is filled with dam on the way back, and it's only worth 100. That's also called a violation of Ma'alim B'Kodesh. This is a Horada B'Kodesh. So the answer must be that there's no violation here called Moridim B'Kodesh in any of these scenarios. So the Sfasem is quoted here in the note, Mishum shekol Mizrak hu shel karmen b'fnei atzmo, v'karmen sheneskabel b'zav, nishar v'shal zov ad azrika, u'mishin is kavel v'shal kesef, nizrak v'shal kesef, v'ein kam dam sheyored v'malosu. He says that the morid b'kodesh would only apply to the dam. Now, the dam is going to be set, is going to be received in the kli. Just 1 second. Well, what does he mean? The korban sheniskabel b'zov nishar b'shel zov ad azrika. Now, he's saying that the only problem is after you pass the empty mizrach back to the other end of the line, and then you're going to get the lower level. Let's say you started with Zav, and you did the Zrika with a Mizrach Shel Zav. Now, you send back the Mizrach Shel Zav, and on the way back, you're going to get Dam in a Mizrach Shel Kesef. Says the Sfasemis, that's not called Morida Mikodesh, because they're two different damim belonging to two different karbanos, two different psofim. Each karban has its own avoda. And if the shuros are made of... Just 1 second. So I'm just trying to work out the mitzvahs here. So what do you have? You have one... Second, if you have kol mizrach hu karban b'fnei atzmo, that I understand, and karban iskabel b'zov. Now, what does he mean here? Karban sheniskabel b'zov nishar v'shel zov ad hazrika. Just 1 second. Why is it so? Why is it Nishar Anasrika? Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Yeah, it's not that they pour the dam from one kli to another. The dam always remains in the same kli, wherever the Kabbalah was, all the way until the Zrika on the Mizbeach. So that as far as that carbon is concerned, there was never a violation of Morid and Mekodesh, because the dam always remains in the same kli. The problem is Morid and Mekodesh and the Havamin of the Gemara, as far as the Kohen is concerned. Because the Kohen started with a Zrika of carbon X from a Mizrach of Zahav. Now when he gets to carbon Y, that very same Kohen in the second round is going to do a Zrika with a Mizrach of Kesef, because the Kabbalah Saddam of the second Karban Pesach was in a Mizrach Shel Kesef. So the Gemara Nahavamina thought that since the Kohen is doing two Avodos in sequence, he cannot use first a Zav and then a Kesef, because that would be Morid and Mekodesh. And the Gemara answers no. If you're going to tell me it's Morid and Mekodesh, then even if I guarantee you that, you know, each person in each line who's going to get the dam from the Korban Pesach, from a different Korban Pesach, is carrying the same material of Zav, let's say, for example. But nevertheless, one Zav is worth more than the other. But the answer is, says the Sfas Emes, that as long as the dam remains inside the identical single Mizrach from beginning till the end, then there's no Morid and Mekodesh. If you were to pour out the dam from a Mizrach of Zav into a Mizrach Shel Kesef, that would be Morid and Mekodesh. So the Morid is in the Avodas Adam of that particular karma. That's where we have a problem, in the internal mechanism of the Avoda of a particular karma, if you lower it down to a low level. But not from one Kohen doing one avoda with one kind of dam in one kind of mizrach and then the next avod he does in a lower level of mizrach, that's not morida mikodesh. It only becomes morida mikodesh within the same karma. And here, the dam of that karma will always remain in the same kli from the beginning to the end. Ella, the Gemara answers, this is a little bit anticlimactic. The Gemara says, the hachi shafir tfei. It means that this is an issue not of halacha per se, but of what's called noi havoda. We try to beautify the avoda as much as possible. So imagine if you had a photographer who was on a higher level. He's taking, you know, air view photographs from on top. It's beautiful because each shura had a different kind of mizrach. This shura had gold mizrach. This one had silver. So aesthetically, it beautifies the avoda. Now the Mishnah says, "V'loyu bazichin shulayim," which means that the bazichin in which the dam was received did not have a flat bottom to it. It was either round at the bottom, or more likely, it was triangular at the bottom. And the reason for this is because we're afraid if it's got a flat bottom that he may mistakenly place it on the ground. And he won't be memaris the dam. He won't be constantly stirring the dam. And the dam becomes what's called dam karush. Once the dam coagulates, which is going to happen pretty quickly, then the dam is posel and mizbeach. So to avoid that psul and make sure and guarantee that he'll never put the mizrach down on the ground, they had a triangular kind of point, you know, like a dreidel, you know. So a dreidel, you could dray around with the dreidel, but you can't put it down. It won't stand. So this was the takana of the bezichin. However, there's one exception to the rule. And what is that? That's going to be the levona. Bezichei levona. We had a mitzvah on every Erev Shabbos to place 6 loaves of lechem aponim on one side of the maruch on the shulchan and 6 on the other side. And in between, they placed levona, a certain kind of an incense, a certain kind of a spice. So now, what he did was, the kohen had to take bazichin, kind of, you know, receptacles or spoons, dig into the levona and place it in between the 2 marochos of 6 lachmei ponim on one side and 6 on the other. So Tana Rabbana kol habazichin shemigdash l'hoylem shulayim, they never had a flat bottom. Chutz mi bezichei levona shalechem aponim. Now, bezichei is in plural, and the reason for that is there were 2 bezichin. In each one of them, they would place a certain amount of levona, which is called a kometz of levona, and they would place it on the shulchan in close proximity to the lechamin, which were placed on the shulchan. Now, there was no issue here of guaranteeing that these bazichin would not have shulayim. Why? Because, on the contrary, if there is shulayim, if there's a flat bottom, then it's very simple and effective to place the levona flat in between the two sections of 6 But Shema Yanichem, if on the other hand it would have a triangular pointed end or bottom, I should say, then we're afraid that when he places it down, it won't be able to stand upright vertically because it's a point. It's going to tip over and the incline is going to add weight to the lechamim, the yifros halechem. Now, lechem aponim has to remain intact, and it's very vulnerable. Why is it very vulnerable? Because the lechem aponim had a lot of airspace inside. It was basically a rectangular kind of a bread that had, you know, like two walls to it, but it was open on the other sides. So two sides were open. And as a result, the lechem could easily become pasul if you put weight on the outside, on either side, because then it collapses. Once it collapses, it's no longer lechem upon. So therefore, in order to guarantee that he wouldn't take these bazichim and lean them over, either to the right or to the left, onto the lechamim, because that might endanger the lechamim, that they might break, and therefore they'll be possible. That's called yifras halechem. Shachat Yisrael v'kibel ha-kohen. The Mishnah says that the shechita of the Korban Pesach was done by the Yisrael. So the Gemara says, lo sagi the lav Yisrael? Is there a habamina that you need a Yisrael to shech the Korban Pesach? Why does the Mishnah tell me that the Yisrael is shechting the Korban Pesach? Let the Kohen shech the Korban Pesach. Who cares? The Gemara says, he gufa karmashvalon, the shechita b'zar k'sherim. The Mishnah is not advocating that the Shechita should dafka be done by Yisrael, but rather telling us a chiddush that you should know the Shechita can be done by Yisrael. Whereas all the other avodos from Kabbalah and on can only be implemented by a Kohen. Now then, the Mishnah says, V'kibel ha-Kohen. Why did the Mishnah have to point that out? That once the Shechita has passed, and that can be done by a Yisrael, now we're up to Kabbalah. From Kabbalah and onwards, whether it's Halacha, whether it's Zrika, that has to be implemented by a Kohen. Nosno l'chavero, the Mishnah says. The Mizrach that has the Dam would be passed from one Kohen to his fellow Kohen, and so forth and so on down the line. So Gemara says, until it gets to the Mizbeah. So the Gemara says that we know that there are four avodos in every carbon, the Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. And what is this Halacha in the case of Halacha Saddam as a result of the fact that every single Kohen is online receiving the Mizrach? Who actually does the Halacha Saddam? Why? Because the Gemara says, not here in Zvachim, that Halacha means that the Kohen himself has to be not only Mekabel the Dam, whoever does the Kabbalah, but he has to be Molech the Dam Biragla. Biragla means he has to walk in the direction of the Mizbeach. Lafuke, to exclude the case where the Kohen who shechted the Karbon was very close to the Mizbeach, there was an immediate Kabbalah, and now, without any Halacha, they threw the Dam onto the Mizbeach. Or even if there was someone in between, so let's call him Reuven, shechted the Karbon, and Shimon was Mekabel the Dam of the Karbon, he gave the Dam over to Levi, and Levi poured it onto the Mizbeach, that's not kosher either, because Levi was so close to the Mizbeach that he didn't have to walk. There was no Halacha Biragla. Here in our Mishnah, where we're passing the Dam from one coin to the next, there was no Halacha. So the Gemara says, Shabbat mina halacha shalom beregel havi halacha. There's one man, the Omer, in the Gemara in Zvachim, that drops the requirement of halacha. And if the Kohen, who is right near the Mizbeach, doesn't have to walk even an inch to get to the Mizbeach, he just has the Dam and the Mizrach, and he throws it onto the Mizbeach, that's sufficient. The Gemara says, no, there's no proof from that Mishnah. Dilma hu nayid purta. Perhaps the Kohen moves his feet a little bit, right? He goes like that. So once he moves his feet, he has already that minimum halacha baragla. Now the Gemara says, Elamai kamashmo. Now, if you're telling me that each Kohen did a halacha baraglov, so what is the Mishnah talking about here? In Bishlam, if we held that the Kohen is not required to do any halacha baraglov at all, not even an inch, so you've told me that we accept the Shita that drops the requirement of halacha baraglov. Just get the dam over to the Mizbeach, with halacha, without halacha. But now you're telling me, no, we need halacha. So what's the Chiddush about Mishnah? What's this entire, you know, this entire procedure? Tomorrow it says, HaKamash Malon, Rovam Hadras Melech. You may recall that we mentioned this when we spoke about the Yisraelim singing the Hallel. That it could be that we want to get as many, you get the Levi, and he's going to recite Hallel and get the people to respond, right? There's Aniya and Halil. All that is Barov Amadras Melech. Now the Gemara is saying that there's a Barov Amadras Melech to get as many Kohanim as possible involved in each particular Korban Pesach. How can we do that? It's one Shochet. There's one Zorek. How can you get Rov Am and get all the Kohanim excitedly involved in the Asiyas HaKarbon, in the case of Pesach? And the answer is, by setting up this, what word can I use in English, to, when you pass the buck, you know, from one person to the other, like they used to put out the fires in the old days, you know, pass the Mizrach with the dominant from one Kohen to the next, every Kohen gets his share, he does a little bit of halacha, and that's called Rov Am Hadras Melech. Now, the only thing that bothers me here is, why does this Mishnah appear in Masechta Pesachim? Why not apply Barov Am to every single karma? Let me just see if by chance in a million he makes any comment on this. Says, with a multiple of people is the glory of the king. Okay, let's see, he has a footnote on this. Proverbs, okay, fine. The Mishnah teaches us it's preferable to have many Kohanim share in the mitzvah. That's it. So I'm going to say something now that's absolutely crazy, so don't listen to me. I mean, Rav Soloveitchik would probably hit me over the head for saying this. Is it possible that the purpose of the Korban Pesach is radically different than all other kodshim, and there's no element of kapara over here, but rather it's a kiyum of hodoya, of gratitude, of zecher, Le Hakadosh Baruch Hu shePosach al Batei Avoseinu b'Mitzrayim, and the original Korban Pesach, which was Chazal say the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim, and we took the Korban Pesach and we shefted it in front of their eyes, and the Egyptians saw it, and it was a great miracle. Nobody touched us; we were protected by divine providence. And every year when we bring the Korban Pesach, we're not interested in kapara. We're not trying to atone for any sins. We're interested in remembering what happened back at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you remember that paragraph from Gamliel, which is a mission at the end of our Masechta. Chayv Adam Lomar Shlosh Dvarim, Pesach Al Shema, Shepasach Kodesh Baruch Hu Batei Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim. So that was the great miracle of the Korban Pesach. When the Kohanim are involved in the Akrava, They are involved in publicizing the great miracle. That's why we have Hallel. There's no other carbon that has Hallel. So the Karban Pesach becomes a unique karban in the constellation of Kachim, and that expresses itself in the blowing of the Chatzotzos, which we'll have soon, and the recitation of Hallel. And now it expresses itself in Berovam Hadras Melech, the glory of the king. We're glorifying the king when we bring the Karban Pesach, because we're expressing our gratitude for the amazing supernatural miracles that saved us at the time of the Exodus from Mitzrayim. So that's called the Rova Hadras Melech. So I don't know, either the Rav up there in heaven is smiling because he likes what I said, or he's thinking, this guy, I'm going to disown him as a Talmud. You know, don't tell me that verse I've learned by me, because I'll deny it, you know. Vaita kibel es hamole umachzir es harekon. So the Kohen receives the Mizrach, which is full with dam, and he on the inward, you know, there's the outbound and the inbound. On the next movement, he is passing an empty Mizrach back to the front of the line. So the Gemara is medayik here in the sequence. It says that first he should receive the Mizrach when it's mole, it's got the dam in it, and only later he's going to, on the way back, after the Zrika was implemented, he's going to receive the empty Mizrach. Aval ipchalo. He should not do it in the opposite order, that first he should, there are a lot of things going on at the same time. So he's getting from the coin on his left, he's getting a Mizrach that's full with dam, that he's sending, you know, he's sending down to the right towards the Mizbeach. At the same time, another Kohen is giving him, you know, the empty Mizrach to send that back to fill it up again for the next karma. But he's got to first receive with one, you know, when he gets his hands, he has to first get his hands on the Mizrach with the dam in it. And only then, after he passes that on, or maybe he's the one who does the Zrika, then he will receive the empty Mizrach on his way back. Why? What happens is, since he can offer two possibilities, he can either grab on to the empty kli, or he can grab on to the full kli, he's required to first take the full kli, because if he takes the empty kli, when he has the possibility of taking the full kli, he's being over al ha-mitzvos. He has the opportunity to do a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the Zrika Saddam, or shall we say, Olocha Saddam. And Olocha Saddam obviously takes precedence over bringing back a Kli Reikon, which is a very nice thing to do, to bring back the empty Kli, and it certainly facilitates the ultimate Zrika, but it's far, far removed from the Zrika. It's not an Avoda per se, and therefore the Kabbalah Saddam comes first. Otherwise, he violates Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs.
Rabbi?
Yes?
How does this reconcile with what we just learned previously, that there's rows of Kohanim, and alternately there's rows of gold and alternate silver? It was my understanding that the Kohen had both the gold and the silver alternately, but the other one talks about as if there's separate rows of Kohanim.
Well, I didn't understand what you mean by alternately. We have a row of Lamazogin gold Mizrachos, correct?
Yeah.
Now, the gold Mizrach goes all the way up to the front, and after the Zrika, the gold Mizrach is empty, and now we send it back down, the other way down the line. I call it inbound and outbound, if you follow what I mean. So now, what's happening is that the coin on his left is offering him the Mizrach that has dam in it. He's got another coin who's offering him a Mizrach that's empty, and his job now would be to pass it back down the other way around so that we refill it for the next karban. And the Mishnah requires, and that the Gemara concludes based on the sequence of the Mishnah, that first he grabs on to the one that has dominant, passing it forward, and then he'll receive from the other Kohen, who's now, you know, passing an empty Mizrach back, then he receives that Mizrach. Again, that Mizrach is gold, but nevertheless, it's empty. And if it's empty, then if he takes that first and involves himself in passing back the empty Mizrach before involving himself, which he has the option to do, in sending forward the full Mizrach, he is violating the principle of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvos. And finally, we're running out of time, but let's see if we can chop a rein here. The Mishnah says, Kohen HaKorav Eitzal Mizbeach Zorko Zrika Achas Kenegra Yisot. There are two chidushim in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to analyze each one. First, Zorko. There are two ways of getting dam onto the Mizbeach, and it depends on which carbon we're talking about. One is called Zrika, from a distance, and the other is called Shficha, where he actually pours the Mizrach with the dominant on the Mizbeach. There's a chiddush here that in Karban Pesach, we're going to do a Zrika. And we'll soon see that there's another Shita that doesn't even dream of Zrika which, with regard to Karban Pesach, but rather Shficha. Then there's another chiddush in our Mishnah, and that is Keneged HaYisod. And the Gemara is going to talk about what Keneged HaYisod is, and how do we know that the Zrika has to be Keneged HaYisod? The principle of Milan B'Kodesh Ve'Moridin is derived from a pasuk in Menachos Daf Tzadites. And the Tosfos Rid doesn't really understand the Hava Bina of the Gemara here, that there would be a possibility of applying, in the case of two different karbonos, Reuven's carbon and Shimon's carbon, a Moridin B'Kodesh. Now, he quotes the Yishalmi that Yesh Lachush Lekoin Ramai She Yavi Bazach Ha'osu Mi Kesef Mi Beso V'Yachlifo Bebezek Osu Mi Zov, that we're actually suspicious that this Ramai might bring one Bezek and Bazach and replace it with the Bazach. V'imayimu Ravim Kesev Zav Beshura Achas Lo Yad Nikar Shemachlif Es HaBezichin Al Kishakol Shura Hi Mishal Kesev O Mishal Zav Nikar Adover. So this is going to prevent against theft. Now, the Drosha in the Mechilta is Vishamartem es ha matzos al tikri matzos al mitzvos, and ein machmitzin es ha mitzvos, ein machmitzin es ha matzos, ein machmitzin es ha mitzvos, in bo mitzvul yodcha seosom miyad. Now, as far as Holacha Beregel is concerned, the Kohen that's very near to the Mizbeach, he would also position himself a little bit at a distance from the Mizbeach, so he would walk at least two steps or three steps with the Bazak to the Mizbeach, if you hold that you need Holacha Beregel. Now the Gemara says, Dilma who denied Purta, and the question is, does every single Kohen have to move his raglayim so that each one of them has a holacha beregel, or is it enough that one of them would move his legs in the direction of the mizbeach and then you would be mekayim the holacha beregel? The Meiri says it's enough if one of the kohenim will move his raglayim, no need for more than that. And other Rishonim agree with the Meiri. The Mishlamelch, on the other hand, the beginning of Psulia Mikdashim, vacillates back and forth about this. He brings proofs to both Tzadim. And at the end, he says that he's inclined to think that Kol Avodas Holochas Adam Te'osa Beregel, that even if part of the Holocha was done with Hoshata Sayad without Regel, he would have to go back and be Molechit Beregel. Okay, this is where we're going to stop for today. And we're up to Kohen HaKorov Eitzel HaMizbeach Zorko Zrika Achas, towards the bottom of Daf Samach Daled Omid Beis.